First lesson today comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. As the Israelites encountered difficulties in the desert, they complained bitterly and even suggested it would have been better to stay in Egypt. As always, though, God provided for them. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked forward toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 21 through 30. Paul's letter to the Philippians expresses his joy at being a Christian. He speaks of external values that allow him to have a purpose for living. He encourages these believers to stay unified in the spirit of Christ Jesus. "For to me, living in Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you, for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evident of their destruction, but of your salvation, and this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I remember at my previous church preaching from this gospel text, and the liturgist that day who had to read it worked for a union. He was a union rep, and he was a little uncomfortable with this parable. So listen and see if you might understand his concern. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them out into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of the Lord. I imagine you can see how that union rep might not like this parable. Jesus' favorite means of teaching was using parables, stories that had meaning, stories that illustrated some point that he wanted to make. And there are some parables that we all know and we all love, the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son. There's some that we can't understand. They're difficult to understand. The unjust steward who was caught cheating his master, his boss, and when he had to produce the books, he quickly went out and he made deals with those people that owed the man money at a cheaper, less rate than what they owed. And then Jesus commends this person at the end of the story. And it's like, that didn't make any sense. So there's those that we don't understand. And then there are those that we just don't like. And I suspect that this is one of those. You hear it and you say, it's not fair. It's not fair that those who worked all day long received the same amount that those who worked only an hour. And I think the reason why we see it as not being fair is because we identify with those people who worked all day long. We're responsible. We're good workers. We do things that are right. We go to church every week. We're good Christians. And we don't like that the landowner made those that we think are less equal to us as being equal to us. And therefore we think that it's unfair. It's not fair. But the story is not a story of fairness. It is a story of grace. It's a story of God's generosity. After I finished seminary, I moved to Atlanta. And one of the jobs I had was working with a nonprofit organization, community organization, where we were trying to train people how to have and to hold jobs. And we created this little business. We had a contract with a fishing lure company. And we tied 1 million fish hooks into pairs of two. 500,000 fishing lures. And we hired people who had difficulties finding jobs, who maybe didn't have work experience. And so we gave them some experience. We gave them opportunities to learn what a good employee is and what a good employee does. And we devised this jig where you put the fishing hooks in, where they're the right distance apart, and then you tie them together with the fishing line. You would place them on these cardboard cards that would hold like 10 pairs of the hooks. And what we did that was kind of unique was each person was expected over the course of 8 hours to produce a certain minimum number of cards. And if you did that, you got paid minimum wage. But if you were able to do more cards than the minimum number, then your hourly amount went up. And we had this big old chart on the wall that showed how many cards you had to fill and what your hourly rate for the day for each hour would be given the number of cards you produced that day. No one complained about that. They liked that. Some folks were making a pretty decent wage. One day it snowed. Not a real common occurrence in Atlanta. And I had spent 5 years in Chicago, so I could navigate snow. And I actually lived in the neighborhood so I could walk to the building. And I started receiving phone calls. Do we come in today? And I said, no, Atlanta doesn't handle snow well. Stay home. But there were some folks who did show up. And I allowed them to work. They did the minimum number of cards that day, and then they got paid for a full day's work at minimum wage. And they liked that. The next day, when those who had not come in came in and learned that these other people had worked, when they'd been told not to come in, they were angry. It's not fair. And they were really angry. And they were angry at me. And I tried to explain everything, and they didn't buy it, and eventually they said, we want to talk to your boss. And so we go get him, and he's trying to mediate all this and all this anger, and I'm starting to get angry myself, and it was not pleasant. But the crazy thing is how we settled it. They were upset because they missed a day's work. The settlement was that they would do the minimum number of cards that day and go home and be paid for a full day's work. And I'm scratching my head thinking, you're upset because you didn't work the day before, so now you want to work just part of the day today, make less money than you could make if you stayed the whole day, and now you're happy. And they were. And 30 plus years later, I'm still scratching my head trying to figure out how that works. By the way, Friday I was trying to do work in our garage, clean out our garage some, and I was going through a filing cabinet. And I found one of these. This is the fishing lure that we made. Well, we didn't make the lure, we just tied the hooks together. 500,000 of these things. We finished the contract. It didn't get renewed. This fishing lure, turns out, doesn't lure fish. Yeah. That story, plus our reaction to the parable, reminds me of our reading from Exodus, where the people are grumbling, complaining, upset. Why did you ever lead us out of Egypt? You brought us out here to die, didn't you? We, at least in Egypt, we had food. They tend to forget that they were enslaved, that they were abused, overworked, and the food that they had wasn't that great. Reminds me of an old French saying that I won't say in French because I can't, but it goes in English like this. Oh, the good old days when we were so unhappy. That was what was going on with the Egyptians. We long for those good old days when we were so unhappy. And so what does God do? God provides for them quail, manna. They have food to eat, and enough for everyone. No one was going, lacked anything. They had plenty. The only stipulation was gather what you need for that day. Because anything that you try to keep overnight is going to go bad by the morning. Kind of reminds me of when we pray the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. God provided what was needed. Now, we didn't read this, but if you continued reading on in Exodus, you would discover that they soon started complaining about the manna and the quail. And it's like there's no pleasing them. It's not there. We don't like this. So going back to our parable and remembering that we don't like this parable because we tend to see ourselves as those who worked at the very beginning of the day. We don't recognize just how gracious God is for everyone. We tend to make judgments on those who came later in the day, especially those who came at the end of the day. They're lazy. They're irresponsible. They make bad choices. They only want handouts. And we make these judgments not knowing what these people have gone through. How far is it to get to work? Do they have transportation? Or is transportation even public transportation, a way to get there? What's going on in the family? Are there people that need special care in the house before someone can go out and find work? Have they been discriminated against and rejected so much that they finally given up hope? We make judgments without knowing all that's been going on. And yet the landowner doesn't make those judgments. The landowner took the people that were there early, 6 o'clock in the morning, and said, I want you to come work for me. I'll pay you a fair day's wage, a living wage, if you'll come work. And they said, sure, we'll do that. And then he comes back 3 hours later and 6 hours later and 9 hours later, and he brings in more people, and he tells them, I'll pay you what is fair, what is right. And then he goes at 5 o'clock, just 1 hour before quitting time, and he brings in still more. He doesn't negotiate anything with them. And then he pays them all the same. And he pays the ones that came last first, so that those that were first are thinking, ooh, if he's paying them a daily wage, what's he going to pay us? Well, he paid them exactly what he promised to pay them, a daily wage. And now they're upset. It's not fair. We worked hard all day. Those folks, they didn't. They only showed up for an hour. It's not fair. You should pay us more. To which the landowner says, did I not pay you what we agreed to at the beginning of the day? Did I not pay you a livable wage? Why are you upset that I am generous? The landlord knew the needs of the people, that everyone needs a living wage. But that's what he paid. Those who were there at the end of the day probably were struggling, wondering how they were going to pay their rent. How were they going to feed their children? And even when they got to work for 1 hour, they're thinking, well, maybe I'll just get enough that I can feed my kids something. And imagine their surprise, their gratitude, when they get a full day's pay. Part of our problem with this parable is we look at it in economic terms. And Jesus doesn't mean for it to be seen in economic terms. This is no way to run a business. You try to run a business this way, you're going to be closed down real quick. You're going to have a hard time finding workers because they'll all want to come at the end of the day and get paid for the full day. Human nature. The parable is about what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a landowner who knows the needs of all the people and seeks to meet those needs. And you can make arguments for social equality and you know, a living wage and all that, but that's not really the point of the parable. The point of the parable is it's spiritual in nature. And it deals with God's grace that we are getting something we don't deserve. The fact that any of them were able to have work was a gift. They weren't landowners themselves. They were indebted to the landowner who was offering them work. And when we think about this in spiritual terms, we don't deserve, nor do we earn God's grace or God's favor or God's blessings. They're all a gift. Whether we come at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, they're all God's gifts. And yet, we like to still say it's not fair. It's not fair that I've gone to church my whole life, that I give my money to support the church, that I give my time to help out in the ministries and the functionings of the church, and that other people just come by late in life and they receive God's grace too. It's not fair. We especially don't like the idea that those certain terrible sinners, the mass murderers and evil dictators, that grace might be available to them if they somehow come to God. Well, that's certainly not fair. We want to determine who really qualifies for God's grace, even though none of us deserve it and none of us can earn it. It's a free gift. But we have trouble with that. In this parable, God's grace is difficult for those who always think they need to earn God's favor or that they deserve God's favor and other people don't deserve it.
This is always going to be a troublesome parable to people that feel that way. We have two choices, I think. One, we can choose to ignore this parable. We go on thinking we deserve what we get from God, that somehow we've earned it, and that there are others who can't get it or don't deserve it and shouldn't have it. We can go on that way. But that goes contrary to the parable, contrary to the teachings of Jesus. Or we can recognize that what God has given us is a gift. Something we haven't earned, something we don't even deserve, something that is offered as that free gift. And we can receive it with gratitude. And when we go figuratively into the fields to work, we don't work out of a sense of duty, but we work out of a sense of gratitude that God will provide what we need. And God will lead and guide us into the people that He wants us to be. I think of our reading from Philippians, where Paul says, "Living is Christ, dying is gain." And he encourages those people, the Philippians, and encourages us to live lives that are worthy of Christ Jesus. Working in the field without grumbling and complaining. Seeing it as a privilege, not a duty. Which is it going to be? Grumbling, complaining. It's not there. Gratitude, appreciation, recognizing that it's a free gift. Grace and grace alone. Let's pray. Lord, we have trouble. Some of us have trouble with this parable. Because we want to be masters of our own destiny. Controllers of what happens to us. And this parable says that we're all in need of your grace. So help us to receive the grace with gratitude. Help us to not judge others, but try to lead them to where they might experience the grace to. Thank you for Jesus' parable, especially this one today. Help us to grasp the full meaning of it. And then let us live for Christ, living in a manner worthy of Christ. For we pray this in His name. Amen.